Welcome back to Shore Sports Talk, sponsored by Shoreline Wealth Management on 94.3 The Point here at the Jersey Shore. I'm Vin Ebenu, and with me are two special guests here this morning. We're going to have a fun, fantastic sports conversation, autographs, meeting great athletes over time, so much more. And we're bringing in a goat of the game here, Brandon Steiner, founder and CEO of Collectible Exchange. Been at this for a while and putting different events together, meeting with players, had a show on the Yes Network for a number of years. And then my boy Frank Luna joining us as well. Frank and Brandon have put together a couple of really nice events at the Jersey Shore over the last couple of months, with Oswaldo Cabrera coming to Belmar back in December and Yankees manager Aaron Boone coming to Asbury Park in early February as well. Gentlemen, it's been those were two big time great events and everything, and I know I'm looking forward to whatever's to come in the future here, but with bringing Oswaldo Cabrera, with bringing Aaron Boone to the Jersey Shore, and you know, bringing them in front of a lot of Yankee fans here in Monmouth and Ocean County, what was it like in putting those events together and bringing those big names here?
Well, I would say, first of all, I was never a big Jersey Shore guy.
Oh boy!
Only a guy like Frank. Tell me in and tell me how great it is, and then he delivered it. I mean, you know, I love the Jersey Shore. I'm now one of the bigger fans of Jersey Shore, and I tell all the guys I work with, we got to go to Jersey Shore. It's amazing down there, and it helps. I mean, Frank's been a great ambassador to really turn me on to the Jersey Shore. So, you know, sometimes it looks like it's a little far from New York City, or you know, from where we are, but when we get the warm welcome and all the stuff that Frank is able to put together down there, between connecting with different charities, Little League, all the things that Frank has done, I feel like it's almost like my second home now. I love it.
Frank, this has been big for you.
Yeah, Vin, and I can't thank Brandon enough for what he said. And, you know, I do view myself in a way as an ambassador of the Jersey Shore. It's an area that we love. We're born and raised here. It's got that lunch bucket mentality, good, hard work and honest people up and down the coast. And, you know, I just value the opportunity to work with guys like Brandon Steiner, to bring, you know, guys like Aaron Boone and Oswaldo Cabrera. I mean, they're two active members of the New York Yankees. I don't think we've had that in this area in, I can't even tell you how long.
And, yeah,
you know, without Brandon's trust and faith in, you know, some guy he didn't even know back in November, none of this happens. And the opportunities for the kids, which I'm sure we'll get into, but that's just been so cool to me.
You know, what I look for, Vin, is, can I call you Vin or Vinny? What do I call you?
You can call me Vin. I have cousins that call me Cousin Vinny, so I mean, I got that going.
There you go.
All right, Cousin Vinny. You know, I mean, I thought you were going to say something else, but we'll go with the Cousin Vinny.
All right.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure people are better or worse.
I like that.
Friends call him Vin Diesel, though, Brent.
I've been called the Vin Train, and, you know.
You know, when I think about my business, and obviously I've been doing, you know, now it's Collectible Exchange, not Steiner, but Collectible Exchange, you know, we're really developing almost a new customer base, but yet a lot of the fans are the same. And there's always been a lot of warm welcome for me in New Jersey. I've done really well. But what I look for is people that are curious. Like, when I'm trying to develop new partnerships and relationships, as I have over the last 3 years, particularly moving away from Steiner into my new company, Collectible Exchange, it's like, what I loved about Frank and what I love is his curiosity level. You know, I don't know if you really knew what the hell he was doing when I met him, to be honest with you, but I like the fact that he admitted that. And he's like, Brandon, show me the way and I'll do it. But I love this curiosity. And to me, curiosity will lead you to passion and purpose. And then you get to commitment. And now that's how you develop a really great relationship where all I want to do now is go to the Jersey Shore, which I'm really not sure why. I think my wife thinks that I've got a bunch of girlfriends there or something. But I mean, but that's how passionate Frank is about the Jersey Shore. And yet he's still curious about doing stuff that's never been done there. Every time I'm there, we come up with another scheme and idea of what we could do to blow the people in Asbury Park away. And, like, that's how I look at business. And that's what excites me. It's like, how do we do something that's not been done? How do we do something that's really weird, different? Wow. Like, I can't believe you guys are doing this. And, like, that kind of mindset, which, you know, Frank looks at, he is a rookie in the business, but not a rookie in life and not a rookie as far as his reputation in Asbury Park. So, like, to me, that's, I love that. When I run it, when I am able to partner up, like, in this situation in Asbury Park, there's so much going on there, that, and I'm a rookie at it. Like, I just didn't realize how cool and how much Asbury Park and that whole area had going on. You hear about it, you read about it, but then when you go and live it, which I'm sure the people out there realize it, because the many people that live out there have told me. So it's been amazing. You know, and the athletes are not easy, but they trust me when I tell them about something like this or different things I'm trying to, which I've been doing my whole life, trying to talk athletes into doing stuff they don't want to do or don't think they should do. You know, you get good at it, but you know, you got to deliver. And so it's really important that, you know, they put in a situation where there's a warm welcome. We're doing some good, which every other word out of Frank, you know, when we do go to Asbury Park, we talk about Asbury Little League, or we talk about working with some military former vets. You know, my new company, I've made a lot of money over the years, but the new company always has a do-good component. You know, always has to be some good in what we're doing. You know, it can't just be money. Now, that's just me. I'm a for-profit organization, but for me to get up in the morning and keep working at this point, which I like doing, I want to make sure that I have some do-good stuff going on in almost everything I do. If it leads me to doing more well, so be it. If it doesn't, I'm great. And I think that sometimes people get confused. They want to do more well, and then they'll do some good. But when you do more good, it leads you to doing more well. And sometimes people have a reverse. So I always start off whenever I'm working on new projects with a do-good component. You know, do as much good as I can for as many people as I can. And if it leads me to doing well, great. If not, I'm certainly not at a loss, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, and I think it's been made for really nice community events, too. But not only having Boone or Cabrera come down here, but with the ties to the Asbury Park Little League, with Cabrera surprising a group of Little League ballplayers. And you never know what impact that has on these kids as they grow older. Maybe they want to play ball one day. And then certainly with the military and the veterans, Frank, I know that's been, you know, something near and dear to your heart for years now. And I think it's just really nice to bring the Jersey Shore community together from all different platforms and to meet somebody associated with the Yankees in these cases.
Yeah, and Ben, it's, you know, it's amazing that you say that, because I was in Convention Hall a week before the Aaron Boone event, and there was a kid walking through there with his dad. And I've gotten to know the dad over the years, and this kid saw me and the dad didn't. And the kid says, "That's the guy who we met Oswaldo Cabrera with." Because he was at the baseball card shop. And then he was so excited because his dad told him, "And we're going to meet Aaron Boone next week." I want these kids in this area, and you know, we could talk about the military thing, but especially these Asbury Park Little League kids who come from an area that, you know, has been distressed over the past few decades. And I want them to have a shoebox when they're 20 years old of a bunch of different baseball cards autographed by a bunch of different people. And I want them to ask their parents, "Where the heck did we get these from?" And, you know, the joy of seeing the parents be able to bring their kids for a night out at no cost to them because of the various community organizations and corporate sponsors that we've had that have stepped up in a big way, especially Jersey Shore Supplements. I mean, those guys have been just rock stars in making sure that the community is involved and engaged. And because those events they're not cheap, number one, but they're not easy to pull together in 3 weeks. And it takes the community to do it. And my girlfriend, God bless her, Jill, I mean, she's an anchor in this, man. I would be in debt, you know, the cost of each event if it wasn't for her, because she's keeping me on track with making sure that the tickets are going and we're checking people in the right way. And it's a community event. And again, I can't say enough about Brandon's trust and faith, and what the last name Steiner means in this business is just, and you know, not even just this business. I mean, Google Brandon Steiner NYPD, and you look at all the work he's done over the years with the New York Police Department. You know, go on YouTube back to like 2007. This isn't a new thing for this guy. And you know, so when we're able to partner up and do things like this, you know, I am trying to learn, and I'm trying to get better at it. And the business side, I'll learn. You know, as long as the heart is in the right place, you can't teach that a lot of times.
What is it like putting these events together in terms of reaching out to the player or manager, in the case of Boone, their agent, in organizing this Brandon over the years, with setting up either individual meet and greet autograph events or events where there's multiple players, multiple managers, and so forth?
Well, I mean, listen, after 30 million autographs that I've secured, probably even more, and literally, you know, thousands and thousands of appearances. I mean, I've been booking appearances since 1989. You're talking about tens of thousands of appearances. You know, there's a reason why I've lost most of the hair on my head. I mean, you know, listen, everybody wants the glory, but they don't want to know the story. But, you know, these guys are busy. They make a lot of money. They're in high demand. You know, there's not a lot of room to get off track with them when you start doing stuff with them, because there a lot of times isn't a second chance. So, you know, you got, you know, there's a lot of pressure in a sense, you know, when you deal with some of the bigger names, to making sure that stuff goes right, which is why a lot of people don't do what I do, because they don't want to risk the fact that something go wrong. I just love this stuff enough to make sure that I do everything I can to make sure it goes right and develop enough relationship credibility that if something does go wrong, they're not going to kill me. But I mean, Mariano Rivera, who I've been working with for over 25, almost 30 years now, still kills me about something that happened like 20 something years ago. I mean, it's unbelievable, but hey, we've probably done hundreds of things. So, you know, to answer your question is, you know, it's not easy. However, you develop credibility over time by being consistent, doing what you say. And it's not complicated. Do what you say, deliver something really that makes sense. And my whole theory behind, you know, selling and to answer your question is value proposition is, you know, going to players that I know are looking to do certain things that match up to the things I'm trying to sell them in on. You know, I don't want to go to a Red Sox fan and pitch him some Yankee stuff.
Right.
You know, so, you know, there's some players that I never forget. I was doing this video for Nissan, and we were doing 10 of the top salesmen at Nissan to congratulate them, and they all picked their favorite player. And one of them was Hank Aaron. So I was trying to get Hank Aaron on the phone. I couldn't get him. Calling. He's not responding. Finally, I asked his secretary, Susan. I go, well, what's going on? Hank's not calling back. He goes, you know, he just redoing his whole lawn, and he redid the whole backyard of his house, and he's trying to get a John Deere lawnmower.
Okay.
So, you know, I said, Susan, you know, it's crazy you mentioned that. I got an unbelievable solution for him. Put me on the phone with him for 1 minute. Tell him I got a great solution. I get on the phone with him. I go, Hank, you're not going to believe this, but I'm working on a deal with John Deere and also Nissan. I can get you a brand new John Deere lawnmower within a week
wow.
to your house. He goes, what do I got to do? I said, I just need to do this video for Nissan. So I'm going to pay you some money and get you a John Deere lawnmower. He goes, well, send the video cameras over. You promised you can get me the John Deere? Yeah. So, you know, you got to find out what the players want and what they're looking for. It's really important. Sometimes people forget. They're human beings. They have needs and wants and helps with certain things. So I try to match it up. And that's kind of been my game, to answer your question.
And that's helped over the years, I'm guessing, as well, with just building relationships and rapport with some of these either current or former athletes.
So far, so good. I mean, you know, you always have, you know, listen, I'm not pitching a shutout here. Sometimes things do go astray. But generally speaking, I mean, you know, you build a reputation. And, you know, there's a certain amount of creativity towards that, too. You know, going to players with things that they had never thought of. Sometimes people don't even know the help that they need.
Hmm.
And I'm always a forward thinker. So, again, you know, thinking, you know, I always think, like, you want to improve your relationships. If you really want to improve the direction that you want to go in a relationship or with a business that you're trying to do business with, you know, increase your empathy. And empathy is, you know, putting yourself in someone else's shoes. So we say, if you want to increase things, just increase your common sense. Think about what other people are thinking about. So I actually put myself in a Major League Baseball player's shoes, which I know I would never be a Major League Baseball player, but can you imagine basketball what it's like to maybe. Be one? Can you imagine what it's like to be a professional athlete with a pressure on them to produce, knowing their career could be short, knowing they got a million people coming at them? Everybody needs help. The question is, can you put yourself in their heads as opposed to staying in your head? And I always say, you know, if you can produce value, and that's kind of my trick, and value is what you can do for someone they can't do for themselves. So I'm always thinking, what value can I produce for somebody that they can't do? And I become a little more attractive that way. And that's what keeps me going all these years, is putting what they want ahead of what I want. And believe me, for me, it hasn't been an easy road. I mean, I started this business opening up fan mail for like 30 different athletes. You know how humbling it is opening up envelopes day after day for months at a time, hoping to find an appearance in one of those envelopes?
It's a fun way to go through the mail.
It's insane. But, you know, players felt guilty. They had all this fan mail. This before the internet. Boxes and boxes. LT, 50 boxes of fan mail. And even LT, as big and bad as he was a really soft soul. He did not want to throw away that fan mail. I went through every letter, everything in every one of those boxes. Found a few appearances. Unfortunately, saw some sick kids that we were able to send letters to, notes to. And it gave me a reason to be in front of Lawrence a bunch of times.
Oh, wow.
He was a big name at the time, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, listen, when I get a chance to meet Lawrence Taylor earlier this month in Freehold, I sort of got the sense in just talking to him that I feel like there's been a lot of either reporters or other people who have asked him about things that he doesn't really want to be known or remembered for or asked about. And I was just there to talk about football. I was like, what are your favorite memories playing football? What do you think of the Giants now? And I think he was taken aback by that at first. He's like, you know, what are we going to be talking about? And then he just got more comfortable. And I think treating with him with kindness and, you know, respect, you know, for what he did on the football field, I think that opened him up. And I think that people got a sense of another side of who Lawrence Taylor is, you know, with how good of a football player he was.
You should have asked him about his baseball career. Lawrence was a catcher, and he always said, when I hit the ball, they didn't say I got it. They said, go get it. My favorite Lawrence Taylor line.
I love that.
I had an arm. I was a badass. He was a really good baseball player. I love talking. I mean, you know, you get into some of these side stories with some of the players. I mean, usually a lot of these players or anybody you talk to that's extraordinary, it's something, usually has some pretty good stuff going on with a couple other things. And that's like that's all the juice that you want. I mean, who cares? Who cares the trouble, this, that?
Yeah.
It's always easy to move to that. What I really want to know is how the hell did you become so great?
Right.
And what were some of the stories along that helped you develop that greatness? Where there were people, different things that clicked in that I could share, use myself or share with the people I'm talking to.
Brandon,
and, they all got them. They all got the stories.
Brandon, Frank, I have to head to a quick break here on the show, but want to keep talking sports. Can you hang right there?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
There we go. More Shore Sports Talk sponsored by Shoreline Wealth Management with Brandon Steiner and Frank Luna right after this on 94.3 The Point. Welcome back to Shore Sports Talk sponsored by Shoreline Wealth Management right here on 94.3 The Point. I'm Vin Avenue, joined by a couple guests here this morning. Frank Luna of Bradley Beach, a Monmouth County resident and just a favorite of everybody's here around the Jersey Shore. And then, of course, a legend in the game of sports collectibles, Brandon Steiner, founder and CEO of Collectible Exchange. We've been talking about the two events that they put on with bringing Oswaldo Cabrera and Aaron Boone to the Jersey Shore and just some different stories over the years of working with different athletes. And towards the end of the last segment, we were talking a little bit about Lawrence Taylor and some off-the-field stuff. I'll say this. When we were lining up, when he was going to sit down to start signing autographs and meet with fans in Freehold, he got a call from Bill Parcells. He's like, hold on. He's like, Parcells is calling. He's like, hey, coach, how's it doing? He's like, I know why you're calling. You're calling me. My birthday was yesterday. You want to wish me happy birthday? He said, Leonard Marshall was sitting right next to him. He's like, here, say hi to coach. And then a couple minutes later, he's like, give me back that phone. So I just thought that was like a cool little thing that's like, what happened when you met Lawrence Taylor? Like, well, he happened to get a call from Bill Parcells at the time, and then we were standing right there while he was doing it. So, in over the years, for either of you, a question, with any of the athletes or sports professionals that you've met over the years, are there any stories that you'd like to share with things like that have happened kind of along the way, either meeting them or during an event?
Hold on a second. First of all, if you Google Brandon Steiner, Lawrence Taylor, Bill Parcells on YouTube, you'll see one of the best interviews I've ever done. And there are hundreds of them on there. But and you'll see an interview that I barely talked. It's about 30 minutes.
Oh, wow.
I don't think I have many more. The two of them went at it. You will laugh your ass off. It is hysterical. The two of them could run a comedy show. It's a must watch. It's one of my highest rated YouTube videos as far as people watched it. It was
wow.
Crazy, the two of them. Hysterical. So just as a side note, the two of them have their own little gimmick. They have their own little gig going, no question.
That's
Frank,
awesome.
You go ahead, man, because, you know, I could tell stories all day. So,
yeah, first of all, I'll always think back to, like, meeting Mariano Rivera at an event Brandon put together when I was probably in my early 20s. you know, I think back so fondly on that. And but I'll tell you what's been amazing. And I had kind of, you know, probably because of my time in the military, I was just kind of taken away from sports for a while. You know, I wasn't as plugged into what was going on in baseball. And I grew up born and raised a Yankees fan to, you know, Don Mattingly, Paul O'Neill. These guys were my life idols in so many ways. And obviously the Jeters and Marianos of the world. But I had gotten tickets to a Yankee game from one of my neighbors here in Bradley Beach. And there were four seats in right field. And I forget the exact section we were in, but like a good 40-year-old guy, I had my glove on in the bottom of the eighth inning. Yeah. And I'm there with Jill and her children, Layla and Henrik. And we're sitting there and the Yankees are up, you know, five runs, whatever it was. And Andrew Velazquez steps up to the plate and he rips a home run. And if you watch this video, man, I'm not trying to brag because, you know, I peaked in high school in as far as baseball was concerned. But I caught this ball on a fly. Andrew Velazquez, first home run, kid from the Bronx. And what happened after that, you know, security came down and they wanted the ball back. And I just gave it back. You know, I wasn't in a negotiation. I just said, look, I talked to Eddie Festuk, who's the security guy with the Yankees, who every Yankee guy knows. And I said, Eddie, the only thing I could ever ask for is that the kids get to give them the baseball. I didn't want he said, look, because of COVID, we can't do that right now, but we want to bring it back next year we'll bring on the field for batting practice. So Jill, myself, and her children got to go on the field last year, I guess, for batting practice for the Yankees. At this point, Andrew Velazquez is on the Angels. So Eddie even worked with us to make sure we were there when the Angels were in town. And we got to meet Velazquez in the Angels dugout for about 10 minutes. That was like amazing, right? Just before that, we got to spend some time with Aaron Judge on the field at Yankee Stadium in the middle of his MVP run, his historic, you know, home run chase. I mean, just what that's going to mean to her kids.
Yeah.
Down the line, like that photo of them with Aaron Judge, it looked like something from Jurassic Park, you know, like literally like it didn't look real, you know, it just felt like it wasn't even happening when it happened. And that type of stuff. I mean, you know, you can't.
Hold on. Vin, I just want to. The views that are expressed on this program, I want people to know they are not my views. And I have nothing, zero to do with these opinions and these views that have been expressed, because there is no way I'm giving that ball back for nothing and just hoping for that. And I highly recommend to anyone listening not to do that, because you're entitled to get yours. And please call me and I'll help you negotiate it. And hopefully I'll get Frank to see this story straight and get his mind wrapped around a little more capitalistic approach. That's it. It did work out for us. I give him that.
It did work out. You know, and I'll tell you the crazy thing about it. Like, giving that ball back to Velazquez and then, you know what we did with that, Brandon? And I know you and I have talked about this briefly. That got caught up a little bit, you know, some viral moments. Oh, military guy gives up baseball to New York Yankee, who Squid was like talk of the town at that point.
Yeah.
And we were able to turn that into a $5,000 fundraiser for the Asbury Park Little League. Al Dukes from The Fan hopped on, you know, the radio and was talking about it because he lives in Bradley Beach. And little did I expect, then, you know, it was like, oh, I like baseball a lot more now. Her kids liked baseball. They got more into it. And
wow.
Then you're on the field with Aaron Judge. I'll tell you what, that's probably a $30,000, $40,000 experience in itself.
Sure.
I mean.
You did well. Just, you did.
Yeah,
well.
I made out all right.
Still not in agreement.
And so did the kids. Yeah.
Still not in agreement with that whole whatever you did. But I'll say fine for now, but, you know, I don't be doing that. It worked out well because you're a good guy. You did good.
Frank's all right.
Okay. I'll go along with it. I'm with you.
That was cool.
You know, that's probably part of how we met.
That's become such a sports debate, though. Like, especially like this past season when Judge was going after the record of Ruth Maris and everything else. Of like, okay, if you catch this home run ball, what would you do with it if you happen to catch it? Would you give it back to him? Would you negotiate a price? And I think it got a lot of people talking. Like, if you. And it, not just a home run. If you're in baseball and you happen to get a ball or, you know, a piece of memorabilia from a game, like maybe David Wells' perfect game back in 98, what would you do with that piece of memorabilia if the player wanted it itself? Would you negotiate a price? What would you ask for? Have you seen a lot of that, Brandon, over the years with people trying to figure out what they would ask for, what demands they would want in exchange for giving the ball or a bat back?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we had that whole debacle with Derek Jeter's 3,000 hits.
Oh, yeah.
We had taken care of Derek on all his 3,000 hit stuff ahead of time. And then sure enough, you know, the one thing we didn't account for is him in a home run. So now we got to get that ball back because we kind of owe it to Jeter because he's already – we've negotiated a deal with him, you know, to give him everything he wanted in exchange for him getting back – you know, us getting back a bunch of autographs and other stuff. So sure enough, he gets a home run. Of course, Derek, like, and that was a debacle. But, you know, you see all this stuff happening. You know what's amazing about the ball that Aaron hit? You know, you get this multiple choice. I looked at it like, you know, when stuff like this happens, you got A, B, C, D. This moron who caught the Aaron ball, this idiot. And I don't really like to attack people that I don't know, but what the hell? Let me throw this guy under the bus because he's a moron. I mean, he did none of the above. Like, that wasn't an answer. None of the above was... And he didn't even do what Frank did, which would have been cool, you know, give him the ball back. And there probably could have been some cool stuff to get along with that or sell the ball, whatever. But what I would have, he held on to the ball and then he got a lot less money for the ball than he probably should have gotten and could have gotten. But what I would have done, knowing the kind of season that Judge had, is I would have partnered up with Judge. I would have gone to Judge because I don't think Judge really cared that much about the ball. But if I went to Judge, who's just getting his foundation started, said, Aaron, why don't we do this? Let's get this up. Let's have an auction. I'm going to donate this ball. By the way, the donation, and the guy was a pretty wealthy guy, so that tax write-off would have been the same amount of money, whatever the ball sells for. Yeah. So he gets his tax write-off. He would have got all the bells and whistles, and now he's got a relationship with Judge, which he probably could have talked Judge into doing something for him personally to make it up.
Sure.
For giving him the ball. He gets the tax write-off and all the notoriety and ends up with the same amount of money. The ball probably would have sold for $3 million. He ends up getting $1 million. $1 million. So he goes and donates that ball right away to Judge, gets a $3 million tax write-off, gets Judge to do something for him, and then does some good because he's raised a bunch of money for Judge's foundation, and now he has a relationship with the big dog. I mean, that was just one of my four multiple choice answers. So... yeah, I mean, listen, I don't know a whole lot about a lot. You know what I mean? I definitely can order coffee and Dunkin' Donuts, and I can make a ham and cheese sandwich, and I know a lot about sports marketing collectibles. After that, my wife will agree with this. I'm an idiot. You know, I don't know much. I mean, you know, it's like I'm not that smart. I'm not that smart to begin with. But what I do know is when you catch a foul ball, I definitely know what you need to do. And when I go to a stadium, I know how to monetize every last little thing in that stadium. I mean, down to the stuff in the sewers. I mean, from the bricks to the grass to the dirt, everything. Like, if you're in doubt, you just call me. But, you know, a guy like that, you know, he just got so caught up in the moment. And as Frank did, you know, it's like, so when great things happen, you can decide to get caught up in the moment and just respond accordingly. Or you can take a step back outside yourself, go to somebody who knows what they're doing, and then take the best advice of how to monetize, capitalize, or maybe a part of it doing the right thing.
Yeah.
I like even my choice. I partner up with Aaron Judge, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Brendan, that was even in my brain too, because I had people coming up to me like, you got to get money for that ball. And I knew I had about a 5-minute window. And in my mind, I was like, look, am I going to be the guy? You know, let's call that ball, I don't know, Velasquez first home run ball, $5,000, $10,000, $20,000, whatever it is, right? I wasn't going to be the guy who left that stadium trying to negotiate with that kid who was in the Bronx, born and raised, pinstripes, parents there. I was not going to be the guy in the New York Post the next day who was like, hold up, trying to get $5,000 out of Andrew Velasquez's family. His dad's a cop, an NYPD guy. I mean, you can't write that story. And so even so, I'm like, I just wanted to give it to the guy. And I knew somewhere in there, and you know, you're ignorant to suggest that you're not thinking somewhere like, oh, something cool is probably going to happen because I just gave it up.
Robert Frank, I gave Jeter the ball,
yeah,
but I monetized it too. Like, you know, you could give him the ball, but I would have asked him for, you know, maybe a game used bat, a jersey, and a meet and greet.
Now that I know, there's
a lot of ways to skin it, and obviously yeah. it's easier for me to sit here and backseat drive, which I love doing. But at the end of the day, listen, these guys make a lot of money. These teams make a lot of money. And then there's the personal part of it, and believe me, a lot of people agree with you, Frank. I'm not the majority.
Oh, yeah.
You're the majority. A lot of people, if you poll them, which maybe Vinny's going to do, he'll poll them. I'm telling you that a majority of the people would say, I'm with Frank, what he did, love what he did. I would do the same. I'm a minority. I get it. And I'll have to live with that one day, whether that's good or bad. That's my position. But I would say, yeah, give him back the ball. But I want something monetarily. I sat in the seat. I caught the ball. My luck. And I want some things back.
Do I was just happy.
Yeah. But him giving you a game-used jersey or one of his game-used bats and a meet and greet would have been no big deal. And then you could decide what to do with those products.
I am just happy I'm not the guy who had a glove on and missed it.
Oh, yeah. Dropped that ball. Oh, my God.
Like the guy trying to carry Judge's home run in Texas.
Oh, boy. Exactly.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Just flew into behind the fence.
I love Velasquez, but, I mean, I got my Jeter dive picture up here. That's a Steiner piece. I mean, come on, man. I got an alligator tail from when I went swimming with an alligator.
What's great
Florida.
About all this is that, it's memories that matter. It's like we're talking about a baseball and catching a baseball at a game. And I mean, it's just one big game. And the fact that we can laugh and have fun and there's some monetary value to some of this on top of it. I'm so grateful. Honestly, to think that I would be sitting here at my age, knowing as crazy a sports fan as we were as kids, as I was, and think that, this is how I'm going to make a living, is just outrageous. And I'm so grateful. And the fact that I can have this conversation on a somewhat serious level is outrageous. But I enjoy it, and it's fun. And I would say, when it's all said and done, again, Frank, you're not the minority when it comes to doing the right thing on something like this. But I'm more of a, it's my business and it's a capital approach. And, it's nothing wrong with it. I remember Phil Rizzuto telling me a story. I represented Phil when his Hall of Fame run for 7 or 8 years. And he hits this game-winning home run. He's rounding the bases, literally a walk-off home run. And Phil didn't hit a lot of home runs. He was, he's going crazy. He's rounding the bases, and somehow his hat flies off. And he goes into the locker the next day after his game-winning home run. There's a note in there, and he figures – it's something from ownership. He's figuring they're congratulating him. And he's telling me he's owed $4.50 for the hat he lost. It's amazing how things do change. It's like,
gosh,
exactly. And same thing with Wetland, by the way. Like Wetland, Mark Teixeira in 2009 gave the ball back, even though that last ball in the final out, new stadium, could have got six figures, gives it to ownership. Gave it to Steinbrenner for no big deal. Mm. John Wetland held on to that ball, didn't sell it after he won in 96. Everybody's got their different view.
Right.
Like the ball I wanted was when the Red Sox won, the curse that got broken. And that was the ball. I think it was Mankiewicz that got that
Mankiewicz
ball.
Held on to that one.
tried so hard to get that ball, man. Oh, God. But so many different ways that people spin it and look at it. And what's great is that all these things that people look at, I like the thing has something to do with it, now have value. People value now, they respect the value of it, and it carries over what's now made into a nice little industry and business.
One of the things Andy Pettitte was known for was putting the, his glove over his eyes. He could put that tense of fear in there. You couldn't tell what pitch he was throwing and everything. What are you guys able to tap into the tea leaves here about maybe some things you guys are working on right now, or is it kind of like, facing Pettitte in the box here?
How much time do we have? if I go through everything that Frank and I have talked about, we need at least
another hour. What can we expect at the Jersey Shore here?
Well, we're definitely looking at the Stone Pony. That's on my agenda. That's on my to-do list before I die. We got to do something at the Stone Pony. It's legendary. It's amazing. I think we also got to do some kind of theme event in Asbury to help the Little League, and then maybe do something that's a little bit above and beyond just one player. We're talking about doing several players. Frank and I are talking about Mariano Rivera, figuring out how to maybe get him there. And then we're looking at some other sports, right, Frank? What'd you say?
Oh, yeah. Other sports, other levels of sports. I think you're going to see some things that, in the next couple of months that people might not expect, whether out of Brandon and definitely not out of me. And you know, I'm excited about getting to learn this industry and this business. And, you know, look, I did a lot of this stuff for politicians in New Jersey all the way up to the governor,
right,
for 15 years of my career. Yep. So, you know, when I look at the skills as they translate, you have to be just as good to the hot dog truck guy in Sayreville as you do to the state Senate president in Trenton. And I'll tell you, that's something that I learned in politics because, you know, they have the same vote at the end of the day for governor. Now, obviously, the state Senate president has different legislative stuff, but
right.
And it comes from my time working in restaurants and bars. And I know Brandon worked in kitchens early in his life. And, you know, I can't say enough how what I want to do and what Brandon's going to do is going to keep a focus on making sure that whether you're Oswaldo Cabrera, Mariano Rivera, or, you know, Andres Chaparro in AA baseball, you know, we're thinking of you and we're trying to work with you and do good for you and your career and the community. So that's a big focus.
There you go. Brandon, Frank, thanks for your time. Thanks for your insight and for putting the events on that you have so far. Really looking forward to what's to come. Thanks for coming on the show.
Absolutely. Look forward to it. By the way, anybody has anything they want to sell on that note, you know, our brother's got to ask. Go to Collectible Exchange, because that's like a full marketplace where you not only can buy stuff, but you can sell stuff on my new website. So go to CollectibleExchange.com, and also my books are on there for free if you want to read one of them. Thank you for having
Great
me.
Books.
There you go.
Great
no,
books.
Yeah, thank you for adding that. You can also follow Brandon Steiner and Frank Luna on Twitter. Get all the information you need. More Shore Sports Talk, sponsored by Shoreline Wealth Management, right after this on 94.3 The Point.